بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. After the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And inshallah for tonight, we continue the series of etiquettes, adab, the etiquettes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. There's akhlaq and adab, way of life, how to live every single aspect of our life and how to live every moment of our life in accordance to the way that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased from and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I mentioned before, the point that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pass away from this world and he did not show us anything. The Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam did not pass away until he showed us how to live every single aspect of our life the way Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased and the way that pleased Allah and his Prophet. Inshallah tonight, as we spoke last week about a major thing that takes role in our life, which is food and eating and drinking, tonight we'll speak about another major thing that takes place in our life, which is sleeping. The average person sleeps a third of his life. 8 hours usually go for sleep in majority of people's lives. And the other 16, 8 for work and 8 for the rest of the necessity things that he needs in life. If someone lives, as they say, 70 years, he slept about 20 years or 25 years of that. 25 years out of 7 years. 25 years sleep out of 70 years of life. That's a long time of sleep. And inshallah, let's open our minds and hearts to what we hear tonight, so we'll act upon that and practice that to have that in our daily lives, and to earn and get more hasanat, and to elevate our position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually people, when they are sleepy, they yawn. And yawning is not a praised habit in Islam. That's why the prophets do not yawn. When you see someone that you respect, someone that you look up to and respect, someone maybe with strength or haybah, and you keep looking at him at that look of respect, but the second they start yawning and opening their mouth in front of people, you feel that a bit of that respect had reduced. Why? Yawning is not a praised habit. It's not a habit that's liked. At the same time, it's not a habit that you get sins for, because sometimes out of the nature of the human being. And as I said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pass away without showing us how to live our lives and how to live every single moment of our life, even when it comes to yawning. Even when it comes to yawning. Wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he taught us that when someone yawns, to cover their mouth. To cover their mouth with the right hands by the palm facing the, by this way, the palm facing the hand. Or covering with the left, the opposite way that you cover with the right. So the sunnah is when you yawn, you cover your mouth like that with the right, or you cover like that with the left. And the reason is that's been narrated that the shaitan will laugh at the Bani Adam when he sees them yawning. He laughs at them. Why? Because it's a sign of weakness. And this is the opportunity or golden opportunity for the shaitan to see the human being that he is jealous from and declared war on from the day of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, to see a sign of weakness. That's why it's recommended for you to grab it. If he can't grab it, which most of the times he can't, then get yourself in the habit of covering your mouth. No matter what situation you're in, even if you're in a prayer, there is nothing wrong when you yawn to cover your mouth with your right or your left. Yawning, as I said, it's a beginning for sleep. Now let's get into sleeping. What are requirements or the recommendations that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set for us? As we said, sleeping is a nature that Allah had created mankind on. And it's a ni'mah if it gets used the right way. The body of the son of Adam, Bani Adam, needs that rest to regain the energy to continue building their life. If you don't rest, you're just exhausting yourself and putting yourself into more danger and harm. So sleeping is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal for the children of Adam, for the human beings, to rest their bodies. But also becomes a niqmah when you start abusing it. You start sleeping extra. You need 6 hours rest or 8 hours rest. You start sleeping 12 and 14. And that's the case with, mashallah, our youth in this country. Minimum 12 hours. Up to duhur or asr, mashallah. I know some people that sleep for 24 hours. Ajeeba. For sleeping, if you start over exaggerating in the hours you sleep, and the extra time that you sleep, you're just abusing that ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. And what happens is, anything that you ever exaggerate with just turns to opposite. And realize, subhanallah, when you sleep extra, you need 8 hours sleep, for example. You sleep 10 or 12, you wake up more tired than before you sleep. But sleep, you need 8 hours. You sleep 7, subhanallah, you wake up more enthusiastic. And that's the case with a lot of people. For subhanallah, it's a ni'mah if it's used the right way. It's a niqmah if it's used the wrong way. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a human being that used to sleep like the rest of the human beings. And that's one of the things that the non-believers didn't want to follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is how could we follow a man that eats and drinks and sleeps like us? Well, he's a human being. And he used to sleep like the rest of the human beings. But he was a man that his eyes will sleep and his heart doesn't sleep. That's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward our Prophet, the greatest reward that he rewards a Prophet. كانت عيناه تنامان وقلبه لا ينام. His eyes used to sleep and his heart would never sleep عليه الصلاة والسلام. And صلى الله عليه وسلم taught the companions in a lot of ahadith that when they go to attempt to sleep, what to do before they sleep. And he forbade us to sleep in certain times for the harm of sleeping at those times. And it's been forbidden in the authentic hadith to sleep before Isha and after Maghrib. Why? Because you might lose Salat al-Maghrib. And there is weak narrations that speak about after Asr. And there is also Hasan hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Fatima or Aisha, one of them two, I can't recall who exactly, when she slept after Fajr, he said, why do you sleep in a time where the sustenance of the servants of Allah have been divided? Why are you sleeping in a time where the sustenance of the servants of Allah have been divided? It's a time where your sustenance is getting divided. Wake up so you could earn your rizq at that time. And subhanallah, you find yourself very enthusiastic and motivated after Fajr when you stay awake than when you sleep. And the one that sleeps throughout to Fajr is the one that the Prophet ﷺ described that the shaitan had urinated in his ear. And that's why you find yourself sometimes when you sleep throughout Fajr, You wake up, your head can't even operate anymore. It's just stubborn, stuck. That's what happens when someone sleeps through Fajr. And the sunnah is that you sleep straight after Isha so you could get ready to get up for the tahajjud and Qiyam al-Layl or Fajr. And it's not recommended to speak after Isha unless it's good or for the sake of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal or seeking knowledge or for the sake of da'wah. It's makruh to speak any foolish talk after Salat al-Isha. And of course you could imagine the way of life they had back then with no lights to use at night. MashaAllah, look, it's like during the day even more light. Why? Because of the technology that you have. But back then, after Isha, it's just candles or a bit of fire that would turn on the light for a small area or space. And they used to sleep at night, live the day during the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. They were made day to live, for you to earn your living. وَاللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا أَوْ سُبَاتًا. Another verse. And a night is a clothing for you to sleep, or سُبَاتًا for you to rest and relax. So this is the nature that Allah Azza wa Jalla created the human being. And this is the nature of your body that accepts. To change it the opposite way, you only get harm in return. And people are much healthier when they sleep at night than they are sleeping during the night and as during the day. And as I heard from my doctor, there is even more of a risk of a heart disease for people that sleep during the day than sleeping at night. And you realize you sleep 1 hour at night is like worth 4 or 5 hours of the day. You sleep the hour at night, subhanAllah, you get the most of it than when you sleep at day. At day, you just want to keep on sleeping, and you wake up to sleep. And you wake up more tired than what you are. For subhanAllah, glory be to Allah, the one that created the human being, fi ahsan taqweem, in a perfect manner and a perfect form. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the companions that when you go to sleep, to make wudu, the way that you make wudu for your salah. So you could sleep on wudu. So you could sleep on your wudu. And then forget the wudu is the weapon of the believer. Wudu is a weapon and a protection against the shaitan. When you have wudu, it's like you've got an extra shield that you're carrying to protect yourself from any evil and from any shaitan. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highly recommended the companions when they go to sleep with wudu. And those ones who pass away with wudu, of course they have a virtue over those ones who pass away with no wudu. And also Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he recommended that you clean out your bed before you sleep. You clear it out and clean it by at least rubbing with a cloth on the surface of your bed. What makes you know there could be a spider, a scorpion that you're not aware of that you sleep? And especially back then, they used to have a lot of that. They don't have the protection and the preservation that we have these days. So alayhi salatu wasalam, the sunnah is that he clears his bed and he ordered the companions to clear the bed. Well, you don't know what you're coming into. It's like, make sure you clean your bed, look under your pillow, so on, it's clear. And then you put and get prepared to sleep for the beginning or the small death as being mentioned. And the sunnah is that alayhi salatu wasalam, before he's to go to sleep, he's to gather his hands. And he's to blow 3 blows. Not spitting. It's like spitting with no saliva. You blow 3 times. And then you recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Then قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. And then قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And then you start wiping all over your body, except the bottom of your feet and your private part. And you do that 3 times. So before you go to sleep, you make wudu, you sit down to get ready to sleep, you put your hands together, you blow 3 times, and then you recite, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and then you wipe your whole body, do that once, then twice, then 3 times, guarantee that you are protected. And no harm will come to you that night. And then the sunnah, as the Prophet Muhammad SAW said, to sleep on your right. And he forbade other positions to sleep on, to sleep on your stomach. Where alayhi salatu wasalam once saw a companion sleeping on his stomach, he shook him with his leg and told him, don't sleep, a sleep that Allah hates. There's a sleep that Allah hates, to sleep on the stomach. And unfortunately, a lot of people have the habit to sleep on the stomach. It's a comfortable sleep. Why? Because you're just relaxing your stomach. Relax your brains and you sleep. And you find that a lot of hardship to start sleeping and you're right. And I'll say about myself, when I grew up, I was like that. And it took me a while until I got used to my right, but now I can't sleep anywhere else beside my right. So whoever's got that bad habit of sleeping on their stomach or on their left, you could change that habit. It's just about a bit of sacrifice and time, and then you find yourself used to it. The same thing that you didn't have the habit before and you've changed towards it, you could change again for Allah's sake. And when you sleep on your right, there is more protection sleeping on your right than sleeping anywhere else. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that when someone sees a bad dream, and inshallah we'll get into dreams, when someone sees a bad dream, to blow into his left, towards his left, as we did three times, and to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, three times. Or to say it once, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and to change the position that we're sleeping. In other words, 100% you were sleeping on your right. And inshallah you don't see a bad dream, but if you do one day, wake up and see what position you're in. You're either on your back or your left. It's very, very, very rare for you to get a bad dream when you're on your right. It's very, very rare to get a bad dream or a nightmare or a caboose, if you want to call it, when you're on your right. You usually get that when you're on your back or on your left. It's not haram to sleep on your back. And it's not haram to sleep on your left. But it's not recommended. And health-wise, it's also recommended to sleep on your right because your heart is on the left. You don't want to put all the pressure on your heart. You sleep on the right. Subhanalladhi allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Glory be to Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one that taught the human being what he does not know. A man like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew all those things. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam used to put his hand under his cheek, right cheek. And he used to sleep. And he used to say the ad'iyah that he used to say, inshallah, we'll go through with that. For this is the sunnah. You make wudu, you sit down, you make those ad'iyah, you wipe all over your body. Okay, and before that you clear your bed, you make that dua, you sleep towards your right, you put your hands under your cheek, you can't, doesn't matter. Okay, and you sleep, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sleeping on the stomach, it's makruh and highly disliked. Sleeping on your back, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not once been narrated that he was relaxing and leaning his back, and he had his two legs crossed. Yani, he had his two legs crossed, and he had sleeping on his back. So, yani, no, it's not haram, but it's recommended to stay on your right. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam once was approached by Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, his daughter. And she was asking, O Prophet of Allah, we want to get a slave, a maid to help us, to help me my house duties. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, and then he came back and he told her, O Fatima, don't you know if you say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times before you go to sleep is better than that maid that you want? Is better than that maid than you want? So also the sunnah before you go to sleep is to say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times. And also sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions to say this dua before you go to sleep, which he said, whoever dies saying that dua, he'll die on the nature, al-fitra, dying on the nature of Islam. Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk, wa fawwadtu amri ilayk, wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk, wa alja'tu dhahri ilayk, raghbatan wa rahbatan ilayk, لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. Though, O Allah, I had submitted myself to you, and I had submitted my matters to you, and I had faced my face towards you, and I had resorted to you as a fear and love to you, there is no way or no place for me to run to or go to except to you. I believe in the book that you've revealed and the prophet that you've sent. آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من مات مات على الفطرة. Whoever dies and passes away that night saying that dua, he had passed away on the fitra. He had passed away on the fitra. On the fitra, on the nature. He had passed away on the nature. And he's like a new baby born. Someone that's fully submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's other ad'iyah and other ahadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended us to say and read. And he recommended to say Sayyid al-Istighfar, another beautiful dua. اللهم انت ربي لا اله الا انت خلقتني وانا عبدك وانا على عهدك وعهدك ما استطعت اعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت ابوء لك بنعمتك علي وابوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فانه لا يغفر الذنوب الا انت. اي دعاء. It's called سيد الاستغفار, the master of asking Allah for forgiveness. The dua of master of asking Allah for forgiveness. عليه الصلاة والسلام says whoever says that dua during the night and dies will enter the paradise, or says it during the day and dies will enter the paradise. Sayyid al-Istighfar. Beautiful ad'iyah. Doesn't even take 1 minute. Doesn't matter. You have to done now by off by heart. You could grab a book like this. Citadel of Muslim. Hisn al-Muslim. Put it next to your bed before you go to sleep. Read them. Takes you 5 minutes. Great benefits. What makes you know? It could be your last time and moment or hour or second of your life on earth. Could be your last second on earth. Making these ad'iyah will make a big difference in your lives. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to make his last words the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's been narrated, he used to recite Surah Al-Kafirun as being one of his last things that he used to say and recite before he goes to sleep. And he used to say, Allahum bismika amutu wa ahya, ya Allah, in your name, I'll die and live. Why? Because sleeping is the minor death. And the actual death is the major death. So when you sleep, you just experienced a minor death. But the true death is when you die, and that's when you really experience the true death. People have to wake up before they go to sleep. Wake up on themselves. And that's why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "An-nasu niyam, fa-idha matun tabahu." People are asleep. When they die, that's when they wake up. People are just asleep. That's when they die and see the death with their own eyes, and see the punishment of death with the anos, that's when they realized, I should have done this, and I should have not did that, and I should have done what Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted me to do, I should have kept away from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla told me to keep away from. And the sunnah to have the intention to wake up for tahajjud, to wake up for the nightfall prayer. As the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never used to miss the nightfall prayer. It was fard on him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was sunnah, and it's still sunnah on us. And alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to wake up, he used to say, Alhamdulillah, ahyani ba'da ma amatani wa ilayhi nushur. Thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise be to Allah azza wa jal, the one that gave me life, the one that gave me life after death. So he used to consider this as a minor death. And alayhi salatu wasalam would go and make wudu and pray 2 rak'ah, 2 light, smooth rak'ah. To start his nightfall prayer. And then he prays another 10 rak'at. And every rak'ah is longer than the other. That one of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying the tahajjud prayer, qiyam al-layl. And qiyam al-layl and tahajjud is one prayer, but the difference is qiyam al-layl is when you don't sleep, tahajjud is when you wake up for it after sleep. So it's one prayer, but one's got priority over the other or more virtues over the other. One you've slept before, the other one you didn't. Of course, those ones who wake up from sleep is much harder than those ones who stay awake all the way till Qiyam al-Layl. And alayhi salatu wasalam, as been narrated, he was reading. And the companion says that sallallahu alayhi wasalam was reading Surah al-Baqarah. And he said to himself, maybe the Prophet read half of that Surah al-Baqarah and then he'll bow. So the Prophet ﷺ continued Surah Al-Baqarah until he finished it. And then he said that companion, maybe the Prophet ﷺ finished Surah Al-Baqarah, then he'll bow, make ruku'. So the Prophet ﷺ started with Ali Imran. So that companion says, I thought he'll read half of Ali Imran and then make ruku'. So the Prophet finished Ali Imran. So the companion said he'll finish Ali Imran and then make ruku'. So he started with An-Nisa. So he said he'll read half of Nisa and then make ruku'. So he started with the Ma'idah until he finished Ma'idah. Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa, Ma'idah, that's a quarter of the Quran. That's nearly about 150 pages. Yani, if you want to, every page 1 minute, that's 150 minutes. No, but that didn't stop here. He said the recitation of the Prophet ﷺ wasn't too quick, wasn't too slow. And when Sasa used to go past a verse where there's a paradise, he'll ask Allah, Ya Allah, grant me the paradise. Or a verse with the hellfire, Ya Allah, prevent me from the hellfire. Or a verse where Allah orders you to ask Allah for His forgiveness, he used to ask Allah for His forgiveness. Or glorifying Allah, he used to glorify Allah. And then when he came to ruku', he made ruku'. The companion says, but Allah, the length of his ruku' was as long as him standing. And then was Sami Allah liman hamida, and then was his prostration. The length of his prostration was as long as he's standing. Then the second prostration was as long as he's standing. So 150 minutes, if you want to say 150 minutes, by 150 minutes, by 150 minutes, by 150 minutes, that's 600 minutes. That's about 10 hours. Subhanallah. 10 hours, how did he fit that in one night? Well, that's where the hadith plays, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرُهُ الَّتِي يَبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطُشُ بِهِ وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهِ وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ وَلَئِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. My servant is still getting closer to me with a non-obligatory worship until I love him. And when I love him, I become his hearing that he's with, his sight that he sees with, his hands that he touches with, and his legs that he walks with. And if he asks me, I'll give him. And if he asks forgiveness from me, I'll forgive him. This wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. Allah promised by the time every human being is a loser in that time, except those ones who believe in Allah, do the righteous deeds, and call for the truth and have patience. Allah will put barakah in the time. Allah will make time revolve around you, not you revolve around time. When Allah Azza wa Jalla makes time revolve around you, you get the barakah of that time. But when you hear revolved around time, subhanallah, that's when you start saying, I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything. The whole day went past and I haven't done anything. So Nabi alayhi sallam got up for Qiyam al-Layl. He starts his Qiyam al-Layl with two short, light rak'at, and then 10 rak'at and makes witr. And the sunnah is before you go to sleep to have that intention. If you miss out on Qiyam al-Layl, when you had the intention, Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for it. Innamal a'malu binniyat. And that's why it's recommended to delay your witr prayer as to be the last prayer that you pray at night. But if you think you're going to miss it out, then pray before you go to sleep. And alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, don't put your hands in the water. You don't know where your hands were. Well, that's why the sunnah is before you drink from your hands or so on, or eat with your hands, to clean your hands. And sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as I said about the dreams is true. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that the dreams is one revelation, is one portion out of 46 portions from the prophecy. And that's the only thing that's left. Allah, the prophecy was 23 years. The first 6 months were the dreams. Wa alayhi salatu wasalam will see a dream, will come like the light of a day. 6 months, if you wanna divide it over 23 years, it's 1 out of 46. And alayhi salatu wasalam said all the portions and the parts of the prophecy is been descended or been taken, ascended to Allah Azza wa Jal, except the dreams stays. And the dreams is like a part of the prophecy. Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to someone a good dream to see in their sleep. There's good dreams, there's bad dreams. The good dreams are from Allah, the bad dreams are from the shaitan. And that's why good dreams, they call it ru'ya. Bad dreams, they call it hulum. Good dreams, they call it ru'ya. Bish ru'ya. With a ta marbuta. Ru'ya with a ta marbuta is what you see when you awake. Ru'ya with alif maqsura is when you see when you're asleep. Ru'ya is a good dream. Hulum is a bad dream from the shaitan. So ru'ya is from Allah. Hulum is from the shaitan. Whoever sees a good dream, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only say it to whoever you love. Whoever sees a bad dream, keep it to yourself and don't mention it to anyone. And even if you do, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَضُرَّكَ as the Prophet said, it's not going to harm you. A lot of people have this myth, I should have not mentioned this bad dream. It's going to happen to me. That means kaza, kaza, kaza. And you find people being confused about it. It's not going to harm you. It's not going to harm you. And it's not true what people say. If you say it to someone and the first interpretation that happens falls, it doesn't fall. All these are myths and, you know, just talk that people make up. There's good dreams, there's bad dreams. Good dreams from Allah, bad dreams from the shaitan. You see a good dream, thank Allah Azza wa Jal for it. And just mention it to those ones who you love. And if you did mention it to those ones who you don't love or someone heard it, it's not going to harm. So don't cry over it and go and commit suicide over it because you mentioned it to someone. It's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to you. Okay, and the bad dreams are from the shaitan. If you see it, you get up. You spit three times to your left and say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. And change the position that you're in. And don't mention it to no one. And if you do, again, it does not harm. And the interpretation of dreams, yes, dreams do have interpretation. But the problem is, who knows how to interpret it? I don't believe there's anyone that does. And I'm including one of them. I don't even know. I don't even believe any sheikh that knows. And once a sheikh that tells you, I know how to interpret dreams, know that he doesn't know. Because there's no solid knowledge to teach us how to interpret dreams. The best interpreter of the dreams is the one that saw that dream. When you see a dream, you are the best person that knows how to interpret that dream. You are the best person that knows what it means. If you see khair, alhamdulillah. Then see, also alhamdulillah. It's also highly recommended to recite surat or ayat al-kursi. Ayat al-kursi is a great prevention from the shaitan. It's been narrated that Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in charge on Bayt al-Mal Muslimin. He was in charge on the storage of the Muslims. They used to have a storage where they used to put all the goods, money, the barley, wheat, and so on. And they used to have a guard, wa alayhi sallam will assign a companion to guard that storage at night. And one night, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears a movement inside. He is a movement inside the storage. So he goes inside and grabs a young teenager, stealing. So he grabs and says, but Allah, I'm going to take it to the Prophet. He said, no. I'm just a hungry man that needs food and needs food for my family. And I promise you, I'm not going to come again. So the next night, once again, Abu Hurairah is sitting down. He hears a movement inside the storage. So he goes inside and sees the same teenager in there. He grabs and says, this time I'm going to take it to the Prophet. He said, no, I'm just a starving man. I didn't have food. I need food for my family and so on. And I promise you, I'll never come again. So he let him go. And the third night, same thing. He heard the movement inside the storage. So he went and grabbed him. He said, this time I'm going to take it to the Prophet. He said, no, if you recite that verse, Surah Ayat al-Kursi, you will never ever see me again. And the other narration, it says that the first night, he told the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ told him he's going to come back the next day. And then the next day, same thing. He told the Prophet ﷺ, he said he's going to come back the next day. And the third day, same thing. Until Abu Hurairah recited that verse, Ayat al-Kursi at night, then he never saw that kid ever again. Or he never saw that teenager ever again. For Ayat al-Kursi is highly recommended to read it before you go to sleep. And it's also recommended to read Surah Tabarak. Surah Tabarak, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi mentioned, it's a protection for you in the grave. It comes to protect you in the grave and it comes to prevent away from you the punishment of the grave. So these are recommendations that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended us. You do them, you should never ever have a problem. You should never have a problem from any evil eye, have a problem from the jinn, have a problem from the shaitan, have a problem that if you do that, and you follow it daily. If you don't, and one day something happens that it's unusual, then look back, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. These are all protections for us to protect ourselves with, and they're all protection for us to keep the evil away from us, because the evil is there. And the evil picks on who? Evil doesn't pick on evil, picks on good people. So when you're good, evil wants to pick on you. So with those ad'iyah, guarantee, as a guarantee from Allah and His Prophet, no evil or harm will get near you. And you do that constantly. And even during the day and night, in the morning, remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the great ad'iyah, with the great invocations that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us as a protection for you all day, and then another protection for you all night. And one of the most important protection that you need is after Fajr and after Maghrib is to recite قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ عَذْبُ رَبِّ فَلَقْ قُلْ عَذْبُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ three times each. And Ayatul Kursi once. And La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku lahul hamdu wa kulli shay'in qadir. 10 times, then that's a great protection for you. Guarantee, no harm will harm you. No evil come near you. No of evil eye, and none of that will be there for you. Why? Because you've had protected yourself with something great. You had protected yourself with something great. Look, for example, when you walk out of your house, and you say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A shaytan will try and come into your house. So another shaitan will come and tell him, how are you going to get into a house of a man that made this dua? How are you going to get inside? This man had protected himself. For these ad'iyah, ikhwani, or khawati, these ad'iyah protects you, and you protect yourself with it from any evil, from any haram, from any jinn, from any shaitan, from any things that people are scared from. Which the Prophet ﷺ, he said, al-aynu haqq, the evil eye exists. And Allah mentioned about the jinn and the shayateen and the evil in the Quran al-Kareem. But there is a way of protecting yourself. You protect yourself. The way you protect your house, by putting an alarm, putting bars around the windows, locking the doors, making sure the windows are closed. Protection. But leave it open, big chance of something wrong to go on. The same thing, ikhwani, when you protect yourself with this ad'iyah, the ad'iyah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. InshaAllah, we'll stop over here. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha. أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك